This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer, coming out this morning, introducing the message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. The message you will hear is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll not turn aside, go outside, take up your time with something else. Would you sit and listen for a few minutes, and then call me next week and let me know if you heard the broadcast. But the message is the gifts of the Holy Spirit by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. And also, quickly, our Fall Fellowship Week, Fellowship Day, 2 weeks from today. And I'll give you the mailing address and other information at the close of the service.
Now with our Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Will you? Now concerning spiritual gifts, or literally now concerning spiritualities, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. Get that now? No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to prove it withal. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. I want you to notice that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now I want you to notice that God never gives all of these gifts to one individual. He says so here. To another, and to another, and to another. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. We see here that the Holy Spirit gives gifts for service to born-again believers who are filled with his Spirit. Now, if you ever listen, I want you to listen. In studying the gifts bestowed upon the born-again believer for service by the Holy Spirit, let us first notice how the Holy Spirit prepares that individual and makes him ready to bestow such gifts upon him as will fit him for service in the body of Christ, that is, his church. This work is accomplished in the salvation of his soul. Now let me say this word. Now don't you move one peg until you are sure you are saved. Now, my friends, there's where all of our error practically comes from about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, is that you are not saved. Now, you need to face the one question. Have you been born again? Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And you have no concern about the gifts of the Holy Spirit or any other workings of the Holy Spirit except the convicting power of the Holy Spirit until you know Christ. Now, you drive a peg there and hold that. We have learned from the study of God's Word and in our own personal salvation in Christ Jesus that the Holy Spirit brooding over an individual to bring him to Christ withers all his flesh, and the glory of all of his flesh fades away. Now, I'm talking about the salvation of a soul now. God preparing that individual. In Isaiah, the 4th chapter, we find these words. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. In James 1:10, we find these words, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth it. Then in 1 Peter 1:24, we find these words, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We see in these passages of Scripture that in salvation the Holy Spirit brings man to the end of all flesh. Now, my friend, that's imperative. You see that thing. That's imperative. You know that thing. Now, you listen to me. The Holy Spirit breathes upon the flesh of man, and man is made to see it is all under the judgment of God. Man, when being brought to Christ for salvation, is made to see, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, that everything that he was or could boast of has faded away. And he's made to see that he has nothing God will accept. The Holy Spirit makes the sinner see that God rejects, now I want you to get this, all natural ability, all natural gifts that he may have when he's brought to Christ for salvation. The sinner is brought to see and acknowledge that he is nothing in God's sight, and that all the glory of the flesh, which might express itself in natural talents, natural gifts, or natural abilities, is worthless. God will have none of it. He is made to see that all of his works are works of darkness, dead works, wicked works. God sets them all aside and brings a sinner to know two things. First, he's a lost sinner deserving to go to hell, and God will have nothing that he has. You cannot give God anything. Second, Christ died for such a sinner as he, and paid his sin debt in full. It is there that Christ is revealed to that sinner's heart as his own personal Lord and Savior. Now, my friends, if you've never been there, you don't know a thing in the world about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know modern-day preaching. Now, you get this. I know modern-day preaching tries to lead men to dedicate their talents or their natural gifts to the Lord and use them for the Lord's glory. Here's a beautiful young woman, talented in music, as an accomplished pianist, and they'll say, now dedicate your talent of music to the Lord. God don't want it. God won't have it. It's abomination in the sight of God until that young woman is born again. Then God will translate that into a spiritual gift, if he will, and you don't have it to do. He may set it aside forever. My brother, this is all a farce and diabolical. It does nothing but puff man up and make him a twofold more the child of hell than he was before. When God saves a sinner, he gives that sinner the gift or gifts which will fit him for service in the body of Christ. But before God ever bestows spiritual gifts upon an individual, now you get this, he sets aside all natural gifts and talents when bringing that individual to Christ for salvation. This is one great truth we need to learn, and we will learn it before we ever get saved. If we do not, we will always be confused and easily misled regarding spiritual gifts or anything else. Now, before we discuss the individual gifts, let us look at this great fact. The Holy Spirit is sovereign and gives to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit is sovereign in his bestowal of gifts upon the individual. This comes personally as salvations come personally. And it is as much of grace as salvation is of grace. In salvation, the Holy Spirit is sovereign in bringing the individual to Christ. John 3:8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, and so on. The Holy Spirit is sovereign in bringing a sinner to Christ. When the Holy Spirit wills to bring a sinner to Christ, All power in and out of hell cannot stop him. That's right. Not only is he sovereign, but he's all-powerful. Now, before we discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let us call your attention to this great basic fact found here in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want to turn here and read it to you. Will you just be patient with me just a moment? All right, now listen. I want you to get this great basic fact before we go into the discussion of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore, I give you to understand, now brother, he's warning there, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now you may go around and call him Lord, but brother, you will not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord experimentally apart from the Holy Spirit. And now I want you to get this great truth, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit grow out of the fact that Christ is Lord. Now you folks go around and call him Jesus, you don't know him as Lord, you don't know anything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The basic fact is the Lordship of Christ, the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's right. Now that's the basic foundation on which every doctrine rests. Now that's greater than the doctrine of the cross. Didn't know that, did you? Huh? The doctrine of the sovereignty of God and the doctrine of the sovereignty of the Lordship of Christ is greater than the doctrine of the cross of Christ. Is greater than the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now you settle that one question in your heart. Is Christ my Lord? Brother, he's mine. I came to recognize him as Lord and crowned him Lord of my heart and life before he ever saved me. So it is. That's right. When the Holy Spirit has taken control of the believer's heart and life, he bestows upon that individual such gift or gifts for service. For Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be, not might be or may be or ought to be, but ye shall be, I want you to get that, witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When the born-again believer has once yielded his entire life to the Holy Spirit, and he takes control of that individual, fills him, and bestows such gifts upon him as he will, then that individual is irresistible under the power of God's Holy Spirit in his witnessing for the Lord. Brother, the only thing that can stop his lips is to kill him, and you can't kill him until God's time. Now you hold that. Brother, you can hold that. You can drive a stake down and hold it. He becomes a child of destiny. And no power of Satan, the flesh of the world, can stop him or make him null and void and make his testimony for his crucified, buried, and risen Lord in vain. You can't do it. But let us remember this one great fact. The Holy Spirit is sovereign, and you cannot make him do anything for you until he wills. Brother, you won't try it. Your will's broken. Then it is the born-again believer's position to recognize that fact and ask him to give him such gifts as he will. Let's put it like this. Put yourself as a born-again believer at God's disposal to use you as he will. So in regard to spiritual gifts, you can ask God to bestow upon you His gift, but you can't make him do it. Let us recognize this great fact, will you? It is not our business to choose the place of service, but to leave it entirely up to the Holy Spirit to place a born-again believer where he will. Any individual who has to pull strings, get it now, you see any preacher or leader in the church or out of the church, now listen, deacon, you're going around trying to pull strings in your church, trying to get this job and that job. and so on and so on. Well, you're not led of the Holy Spirit, you're led of the devil. Any pastor who has to use religious politics or the influence of the brethren to get a call to a certain church is not led of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will place His worker where He wants him, irrespective of Satan's opposition. Now, if I didn't believe that, I'd quit. Now, brother, if God's called you to a place, you may have to wait 20 years, but He'll put you there. Now, that's right. Now, you get that. Now, let us take up these gifts one by one and look at them briefly. In the first, he said, he gives the word of wisdom. This is the first gift mentioned here. The Holy Spirit bestows upon the born-again believer, whom the Spirit controls as He wills. In James 1:5, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Wisdom is the faculty of forming a sound judgment in a given manner. How foolish a believer can act sometimes when he does not have the word of wisdom. Brother, the most foolish animal living is a sheep. And we're called sheep in the word of God. And a born-again believer can act so foolish when he doesn't have the word of wisdom. He'll jump to conclusions. His judgment will be faulty. If the born-again believer will recognize this great fact, that he does not have any wisdom, and that wisdom is a gift of the Spirit, and the word says that he can ask for it, God will give it to him. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, we find Christ is made unto us wisdom. How often, recognizing that fact, have I asked the Holy Spirit to make Christ unto me wisdom? He is my wisdom. And brother, then I've cried unto him many, many times, and I've come up against problems after problems, and I've cried, Lord, be to me wisdom. I don't know how to solve it. And he has. Then there's the word of knowledge, which means the clear perception of a truth or a fact. It's the discerning between false and truth, error and truth. He said, I will send you the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of knowledge. No man can understand the great eternal truths of God's Word apart from the gift of knowledge. You can't. Now, if God has given an individual that gift, don't you go around and say, well, I don't believe what he's preaching because I can't see it that way. I've never seen it. I've never been taught that way. So-and-so don't believe it. Well, wait a minute. If God has given you the word of knowledge, or has given me the word of knowledge to make clear the great eternal truths of his word, praise God that he's given that person that gift. You may learn these truths intellectually, but before they become a part of your being and food for your soul, and before you can ever have a clear experimental conception and perception of them, they must be given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must teach you. You'll learn that out of books. This he does apart from any worldly wisdom or knowledge that you may have. The Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. For Christ said, he'll take my yoke upon you and learn of me or be taught of me. Matthew 11:29. When once the Holy Spirit teaches you a thing, you know it, because it is burned into your heart and soul by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches the sinner the way of grace, and that's the only way he can learn it. When once the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to Christ and takes over his life and endues him with power, then he becomes his teacher and leads him into all truth, constantly unfolding the things of Christ to him. 1 John 2:27, he is thereby giving him the gift of knowledge, the word of knowledge. Oh, my friends, that's one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit, as the gift of the word of knowledge. We notice in the third place the gift of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a gift. Faith stands in the place of the thing asked for until it becomes a reality. Now, you awaken sinners. You want to be saved, many of you out there. And God's giving you faith to believe that God's going to save you. And God's given you faith to lay hold of his promises, and that faith stands for salvation until salvation comes. That's right. It's the substance of things hoped for. It stands in the place of the thing that you're asking. All right, the Holy Spirit gives faith to individual in salvation to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of faith to the Spirit-filled believer to ward off every fiery dart of the evil one, to take hold of God's word, and believe him as a little child, to stand against all opposition. And such a one will not take no for an answer when the Lord Jesus Christ seems to delay in answering his prayers. It is such faith that will explicitly trust the Lord Jesus and believe him, even though he slays him. However, born-again believer needs in this hour the gift of faith, which will keep the soul calm amid the storms, which will believe, though all his ships come home with broken mast and sail. Such faith to believe when everything seems to go wrong, when utter ruin seems to fill our pathway. Such faith will take hold of God's word and fling it back to the throne of God's grace and rest on his promises, believing them as a little child with one cry, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. Increase my faith, Lord, that I may lay hold of thee, lay hold of thy word. Then there's the gifts of healings. In verse 28, he calls our attention to the gifts of healings. Let me call your attention to the words expressing this gift. When he talks about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and faith, he says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, or the word of knowledge or faith. But here, you'll find a change. He says the gifts. This word is in the plural. G-I-F-T-S. Gifts. The word healings is also plural. Healings. He does not say the gift of healing, but the gifts of healings. Let me make this statement clear. I believe that these gifts belong to the church throughout the church age. First, because of God's word. Second, because of the history and teachings of these things. And third, because of personal experiences and observations. But I'd have you carefully note. Now, brother, you misunderstand. Why so much error? You misunderstand God's word. You won't read it. But I would have you carefully note the peculiar form applied to the word of bodily healing, which belongs to the church age. Here, in 1 Corinthians 12:9 and 12:28, it is expressed by double plural, to another the gifts of healings. Let us notice these plurals, the very expression, gifts of healings. Now let me hasten and remind you of this thing. He's not talking about the present-day faith healing. Now, brother, present-day faith healing has no foundation in God's word. He's talking about the gifts of healings. This very expression, the gifts of healings, which is a double plural, shows that the exercise of power is directed by the Holy Spirit in special cases. Not for one moment would I think of denying that the gifts of healings were given to the church in this age. They are. But the gift of healing, that is, power to heal everyone, was not given to individuals in Christ's day or in the days of the early church, nor today. But the gifts of healings is given, which, as we said, is the exercise of the power of the Holy Spirit to heal in special cases. Now, he's given me the gifts of healing, and I've prayed, and God's healed in direct answer to prayer. Now, let me tell you this. This form of divine healing that he gives to individuals to lay his hand on individuals and heal them, I doubt if there's very few, if any, have that gift in this age. Now, you let that soak in. All so-called faith healing is based upon the belief and the faith of the individual, which is not the gift of healings. I wish you'd let that soak in, my friend. All right? There are two extremes, as we said, on divine healing today. And I have a book on divine healing, True and False. I'll send you a copy, maybe free and postpaid, if you'll write me. And I won't have time to go into that this morning. Then there's a cold orthodox view which denies divine healing and claims that God uses only natural means to raise up the sick. Then there are those who claim to have a gift of faith healing. They who put the major emphasis on all their ministry on the phase of faith work, and claim that they have the faith of healing and can heal everyone that come in there and believe. One is just as wrong as the other. The gifts of divine healings have been given to the church. Let us use it for God's glory, for the edification of the saints, and for the building up of the body of Christ, remembering that the healing of the body is not the principal message of the minister, but that blood redemption in Christ is his message. Now, brother, that's our message. There's no such a thing as the gospel of healing. There isn't. Healing is not in the atonement. Bodily healing's not in the atonement. I dare you to prove it. To prove it, you've got to twist God's word. The fifth mention here is the working of miracles are literally the operations of works of power. Let me call your attention again to this double plural. Operations of works of power are miracles. The church walking in the will of God under the power of the Holy Spirit will witness marvelous works of grace and operations of power that will astound the world. Such statements seem strange to the present day cold Orthodox church, which has rejected the Holy Spirit and is working in the energy of the flesh. Then, because of the unbelief that reigns in the church, no longer does the church expect to see great manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of individuals, in casting out demons, seeing the vilest of sinners transformed in the likeness of the Son of God, and things brought to pass that only can be wrought by the Holy Spirit, which is far beyond all human power. The greatest miracle of the day is the new birth of a sinner. Brethren, let us quit ourselves like men. Humble ourselves before God. Let the Holy Spirit have His way and cease to work in our own energy, that the power of God might be made manifest in and through our ministry. Why resort to human means and human energy and fleshly energy when we have at our disposal the power of God, if only we'll yield our bodies and life and soul and spirit to Him?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Shelton was a great, gifted teacher and preacher, and I've never heard another like him. They're sure the others are. But to expound the Scriptures like he did, and I was just a young kid, came here and just soaked up all that information and those messages and those truths, because I was not raised in a spiritual home. I didn't know anything. I didn't know Adam from anybody else. But this is Pastor Pendarvis inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message by late Pastor L.R. Shelton and on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And our mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And it's always good to have you folks with us. Help us with the broadcast just a little if you can. And then write us. Let me hear from you. Pray for me. I thank all of you who are helping us with the broadcast. Most of you know we don't beg and scream and holler for money and have car washes and all those things. No, the Lord has been gracious to us. And all of these years, many, many years. So this, you stay tuned, and next week we'll be back at the same time. Goodbye, and God bless you.